In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a movie that I recommend everybody see. I still have a copy on VHS. It's called Mass Appeal. It's based on a play. And it's one of the two protagonists of the film is a Roman Catholic priest who's well into middle age and is a bit burned out. So apparently he has a practice occasionally of doing something called a dialogue sermon, which essentially he hasn't prepared anything, so he just walks up to the pulpit and goes, "This morning's a dialogue sermon, so ask me a question." This is not a dialogue sermon. This is a request sermon, however. Somebody said to me, "Father, I really want you to preach about deacons. Explain to me what a deacon does, where they came from, and why we have one, etc., etc. Should we kiss the deacon's hand? What does the deacon do?" On and on. I said, "Great idea." Now I'm looking, and the person that asked me to preach that sermon is not in church today. but I hope that person has access to the internet and can go back and hear the sermon. But it's a good idea. We know, I hope we know, that there are three orders of clergy in the church: deacon, priest, or presbyter. And if you go in your dictionary, priest is a contraction of the word presbyter. Deacon, presbyter, and bishop. And there have been three orders of clergy in the church since biblical times. Since before the biblical canon was assembled, there were deacons, presbyters, and bishops. If you want to read about how deacons got started in the church, all you have to do is go to Acts chapter 6. "Now in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists murmured against the Hebrews because their riddles were neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the body of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. And they set them before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands upon them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests, pagan priests, were obedient to the faith." So that is the start of deacons. And it is interesting, isn't it, that after the apostles decided to distribute a bit of their workload, what happened? The word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Now, I will admit, full disclosure, I don't believe it's fair to not give attribution. Big chunks of this sermon come from Orthodox Wiki, just because they did a great job of writing up what it means to be a deacon. Maybe that's a plug for Orthodox Wiki. But so, if I quote some things and you go back and read them on the internet, don't go, "Oh, Father Harris is a plagiarizer." I'm telling you right now where this comes from. If we look at where people are ordained in the liturgy, at what point in the liturgy they're ordained, we begin to understand what their duties are. And so the bishop is always ordained before the reading of the gospel, because his job is proclaiming the gospel and keeping the faith pure. That's his number one job description. The presbyter is always ordained before the consecration of the gifts, because that is his job, is to be the chief Eucharistic celebrant and then a divine liturgy. And the deacon is ordained prior to the distribution of the gifts. And those of us who were at our recent ordination will remember that, because then it is the job of the deacon to serve. And we all know that the Greek word diakono means, of course, to serve. And diakonia is service. Now, here is a list of what the deacon is supposed to do during the services: assisting in the celebration of the mysteries of the church, leading the people in the collective prayers that the, notice the bishop does, I mean, excuse me, the deacon does most of the petitions, reading from the scriptures during the divine services, keeping the decorum of the public worship. And he says that, right? He goes, attend, wisdom, attend. Any tasks that the subdeacon or reader does, of course, those of us who serve the church know that any task is fair game. So yesterday morning I was emptying out empty candles, and this morning our deacon was cutting bread, so all tasks are fair game. And then it says other tasks related to church life with the blessing and direction of the priest or bishop. In some jurisdictions, a deacon may be blessed by his bishop to distribute the Eucharist. That is true. And there is even a service called a typikon service, wherein you can do it with a deacon and the people, and not a presbyter. We use the pre-sanctified gifts that are kept on the altar, and you can distribute communion that way. So if some Sunday I were to be away on vacation and the substitute priest had a flat tire, we could actually make provisions for everybody to receive the Eucharist. And I suppose now that we have a deacon, I should put on my to-do list, make sure that we have copies of that typikon service available. What a deacon does may depend on the jurisdiction. Some consider the diaconate as a short interval before the priesthood, but where permanency or longevity in the diaconate is prized, deacons will often head educational programs, youth groups, perform hospital visitation, missionary work, and conduct social welfare projects. And so what that means is that many times people come out of seminary, you cannot be ordained a presbyter unless you have been a deacon first, and they'll be ordained a deacon for some short length of time before going on to serve in the presbytery. But then as we begin more and more to recover this, the ancient, and we would say correct practice of having deacons who serve in the role of deacon and continue that way, then we can see then that there are expanded roles for what the deacon can be doing in church and should be doing. In our own church, our new deacon, Father Deacon Vasilios, has taken on bringing communion to shut-ins and to the infirm, which is great because they get a lot more attention with regard to the sacraments. We have lay people who are already visiting, and now they get the sacraments much more frequently. It works out perfectly. Under the category of allowances, not allowances that you're paid, our deacon doesn't get paid anything, but allowance is what they're allowed to do. Deacons are permitted to wear a cassock or an andiri. This is done as a sign of his suppression of his own tastes, wills, and desires, and his canonical obedience to God, his bishop, and the liturgical and canonical norms of the church. By the way, since we are talking about the subject of the bishop, it's important to note that all deacons are really ordained to serve the bishop. And then they might be assigned to serve at a church, but they all serve the bishop ultimately. Deacons are also permitted to wear the exoraso, the large black raso with the very broad leaves. And then when it's appropriate, and in jurisdictions that do that, deacons can also wear clergy shirts with collars. During the services, the deacon is usually vested in a sikharion, that's the long straight robe, we'll talk about that in a second, with an orarion, that is the piece of garment that loops around him, it hangs over his left shoulder, and during the time of communion, you probably notice that the deacon then takes the orarion and crosses it and tightens it in front, as you might see a subdeacon do, and that's for practical purposes, because we don't want that orarion dragging across the gifts. But it also, when we cross that orarion in front of us, it reminds us that even the angels cross their wings and cover their eyes in the face of God. And in addition to complete his duties, the deacon is permitted to touch the holy table, the table of oblation, and to move through the royal doors. Restrictions. The place of the deacon is to serve the community and to lead prayers. He must have the blessing of the presiding priest or bishop to put on his vestments and serve. And that's true. After we've done all of our preparatory things, before the deacon comes to put on his vestments, he asks for a blessing. Theoretically, everybody who serves in the altar should do that as well, ask for the blessing to serve. A deacon may not celebrate the sacraments by himself. He may not give blessings. He can't bless you. And he may not consecrate the holy gifts. Okay. How to address a deacon. Father, and the name afterwards. Father Deacon, with the name afterwards, or just Father Deacon. In some places, Deacon. If you're going to do that, say Deacon Vasilios. Don't go Deacon Bill, because that sounds like Forrest Gump's cousin who got ordained or something. I think it's good for him that our new deacon is called by Vasilios, because when we are ordained, there is a change, an ontological change that happens to us. I've spoken before how I drive my identity from serving you, as does our deacon, as does our bishop. But and we saw this happen in our region several years ago. Further down the central coast, there were a number of clergy who were quote-unquote defrocked. They were returned to the laity. But then when they were reinstated by another Orthodox church, they weren't reordained. They were just returned to the ranks of the clergy. And once you are ordained, you are ordained. There's no going back, even when you are returned to the ranks of the laity. So I'm glad that we use Vasilios instead of Bill. So you can call him Father, Father Deacon Vasilios. Deacon Vasilios, if you wish. Although deacon, that's kind of like saying priest heiress. It sounds weird to me. But that's all good. Now remember, he can't bless you. But in the Greek world, we kiss hands a lot. And so there is a precedent for kissing the hand of the deacon as we kiss the hand of an abbess or an abbot at a monastery. That's a sign of respect. Certainly, I hope all of you have figured out after almost 8 years together that if you come to see me, I'd much rather bless you than anything else, because that's about the only thing I can give to you anyway. So when you ask for my blessing, I'd love to give it to you, and I'd love to bless you. If you choose to kiss my hand or anyone else's hand, that's completely up to you. What about the vestments that the deacon wears? Well, we mentioned the stichadion, the long straight robe. I wear one too. It's just his is more ornate, because that is very visible to the people as he's serving. And the stichadion, it is said, represents the baptismal garment. Now, please remember that all of the vestments that we wear in the church are adopted from the Roman court. And I've mentioned before, if you go and watch one of the older kind of cheesy Hercules movies, all the people are dressed in things that look a lot like Orthodox vestments. We took them on and we gave them a holy meaning. There's nothing wrong with that. It's fine. We just need to be historically accurate. And so the stichadion took on the meaning of the baptismal garment. The orarion that he wears around it is kind of, it's like he's almost holding something out and proclaiming, which is exactly what he's doing. But that orarion has come to symbolize the grace of the Holy Spirit surrounding the deacon. And then we wear cuffs, again, for practical purposes, so that our garments don't drag into the Eucharist or anything. But the cuffs have also come to symbolize the power of God. Now, before concluding, a couple of questions. These are not at all from Wikipedia. These are from Father Ayres. What about deaconesses? The church had deaconesses for probably half a millennium, give or take. The deaconesses historically helped with the baptisms of women, helped it to bring the sacraments to places where men could not necessarily go without it being very awkward. Deaconesses were ordained in church, but deaconesses only participated in processions outside. Don't think about our world, think about the Orthodox world, and especially the ancient Orthodox world, where you have processions through the street on great feast days, and they participated in those. But they never participated in the great entrance or the small entrance or anything like that. That was never their intention. In our modern day and age, we've had people who are advocating that we return to ordaining deaconesses, and it's a subject worthy of discussion. I will tell you, based on the things that I've read, I think many of the people who advocate the return to deaconesses are really trying to get the camel's nose in the tent with regard to ordaining women as presbyters and bishops. But they know that you have to be incremental in your approach to things. And since they know that most of the church doesn't want that, they have to be sneaky and push it forward. And so I wish people would just be honest and say, I'm Orthodox and I think women should be priests and here's why. But what we find in this deaconess movement is kind of a sneaky camel's nose in the tent approach to trying to get women ordained as priests and bishops. I don't want to preach about that today, but just please know that that's true, that there is, in the deaconess movement, there does appear to be a little bit of intellectual dishonesty, particularly when we consider the role of deaconesses in the past, and when we consider that women are not only equal footing, in many ways superior footing in the general life of the church. When you do a retreat, it's typically more females than males that come. If you look at a church like ours, we have women involved in every aspect of church leadership with regards to ministry, parish council, etc. So just a little bit about deaconesses, just so you can be informed as you read more about the subject. Why did the office of deacon fall into disuse here in Orthodox America, particularly in the Greek Orthodox Church? Good question. And we can surmise perhaps because at one point there was a shortage of priests, and we just had to get people ordained priests and moving forward. My suspicion also is that we have suffered historically from a bit of Presbyterianism, which means the presbyter is the main office of the church, and the deacon is totally disregarded, and people only want to deal with the bishop when he comes to town once a year in some places. And so I think that was a big part of it. And then there's this subject of communion. And as communion became something that fell into disuse and people were only receiving once or twice a year, well, why do we need help distributing the gifts anyway? And I think for all of those reasons, then we decided to discount the deacon. But please remember, as we conclude this explanation of what it is a deacon does and wears and etc., that we have talked in the past and will continue to talk about the need to return to the mindset of the early church, the apostolic church that we are supposed to be. And if we do that, then we realize that today in 2016, that we have to be a mission church, reaching out, exposing the fallen world to the gospel, recognizing that many people in our own environs here in San Francisco haven't even heard the gospel preached adequately or correctly or maybe even at all. And then today also we know that globally, Christianity is once again a persecuted religion, in some places a persecuted minority. And even in the Western world, in the developed world, the persecution against Christianity has become a thing as well, and it's although that's a bit more subtle. So we do find ourselves in the atmosphere of the Apostolic Church. So since we're doing that, then it is a good thing that we ordain people to the diaconate and keep them there. And perhaps this ordination now of a deacon and having a deacon in our community will help us continue to change that mindset. Regardless, we are blessed to have a deacon now in our church, and we are certainly blessed to have Father Deacon Vasilios serving in that role. May our Lord bless his service to the church always and forever. God bless you.